That song is a prayer, and it should be our prayer. It should be our prayer to say, Lord, you know, you, unless you do something, nothing's going to change in my life. Nothing's going to change in my marriage. Nothing is going to change in my kids' lives. Whatever your heart's desire might be right now, that, you know, this thing that weighs heavy on you, we have to be desperate for God. We have to really come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, you know, I will do what you show me to do, but I need to hear from you, and I need your Spirit to do what only he can do, and he will move. And, you know, that the verses in that song just express different ways in which the Spirit of God moves on his people sometimes. Some of it's a little scary maybe to some of you. It talks about, you know, falling down on your knees, and it's not a strange thing in the Bible. When people encountered more full expressions of God's presence, they fell on their faces. Maybe you've experienced that, or maybe you were moved to tears. You know, God was touching your heart in some way. I mean, these are, we should not be afraid of that. These are things that God is just sometimes will do. I think the thing is, we just need to be asking God, you know, you have your way in my life. And when we worship God, whether it's through singing and connecting to him through the truth of the words of the song, or whether it's worshiping him by sitting underneath his word, God's speaking. You know, we have a God who speaks. Do you ever think about why is it so people get caught up in, I think the right word is apparitions. You know, like seeing, we'll see the face of Jesus on a tortilla, you know, or a piece of toast. You know what I'm talking about? And people get so enthralled with those things. With, you know, why is that? You know, you think, why do people, when they think they see that, why are they drawn to that? And my only conclusion is that we want to hear from God. Whether those be valid or not, I mean, I think the thing is that there's a longing in our hearts that we want to hear from God. We want him to speak to our situations. We want him to speak to our hearts. We want him to we want to, you know, commune with him. We want to be tight with God. You know, we want to be close. And that's, you know, what we long for. So I think that when we talk about this whole topic of God speaking, we have a God who speaks, and he has spoken, and he wants us to respond to the words that he has spoken. You know, when we talk about that, we say, you know, God is speaking to us today. Right? He's speaking to you today. He wants to speak to you today. And this morning, we enter into the Bible in a period of silence. A period of silence. You know, the first few verses of 1 Samuel 3, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no frequent vision. At that time, it says in verse 2, "At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." I don't think it's any accident that the writer of Scripture here says that Eli's eyes were dim and that the situation, even the time of day that Samuel was lying down, the lamp of God was going to go out. You know, it was lit, right, from evening to morning in the tabernacle, right? There is this lamp, and it's lit at night. And so we see, you know, it's in that dark hour. The darkness of Eli and his sons. In the shadow of all that, there's this little dim light. Right? We know his name is Samuel. And he's sitting next to the Ark of God, near the Ark of God, right? Symbolizing, and we'll see in the later chapters here, right? Starting in chapter 4, after, you know, the next Sunday, that symbolized God's presence, was the Ark of God. You know, and we think about probably our most vivid remembrance of anything regarding the Ark of God is Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? And, you know, even within that movie, right, power was displayed, right? And they wanted to use it as an object of power, right? That's symbolic of God's presence. And Samuel's sitting there or laying there in God's presence. But the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was silence. A lot of silence. And so that's kind of the opening thing that we see here is we have God's silence. In this passage, we see that, you know, why is it, do you think, that God was silent? I mean, that's the question that came to my mind. You know, when I read Scripture and I come across things like this, I say, you know, why was the word of the Lord rare? Why was this? You know, we see earlier, I mean, the word of God was doing all kinds of things before this. The word of God, you know, created, and God spoke and called people into his service before all of this, right? And so why was God silent now? Why was he silent now? And I think that's a great question, and I think the answer to that is this verse here in Amos. Now, this is some centuries later, but we get a little bit of a taste of why God might be silent by just looking at what this verse says, Amos 8. So Amos is a prophet of God, and in here it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." And so I think even looking forward some centuries through a different prophet, we see that God sometimes will withhold his word and will not speak because of judgment. A judgment has been executed on the people of God. And this is the reason I think it makes sense that, you know, you can also read in Psalm 74, I won't take time to look at it, but in Psalm 74, it talks about the absence of a prophet's counsel. And it talks about how, you know, this is also an indicator of God's judgment on his people. And so I just think, we can come to that conclusion, even though the scripture here doesn't say, but I think that we can see what's going on with Eli and his sons, right? And how they've been sinning against God and totally disregarding the sacrifices of God, and Eli not addressing all the problems with his sons. And God is meting out justice and judgment, and one of the judgments is they're not going to hear from him. They're not going to hear from him. Now, what about in our situation? Do you think, can God's word be rare now? Could God's word be rare now? Well, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, we have God's word in written form, right? We have God's word in written form. But just because it's on the pages of a book we call the Bible doesn't mean that it's being spoken. What do I mean by that? Well, why don't you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1. Just trying to look at, is it possible for the word of God to be rare now, even though we actually have it in written form? You know, it's one of the best sellers of all time, right? And so here we have is 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, and this is Paul speaking to his young pastor friend Timothy, and he says, I charge you, so he's speaking to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Well, he's really setting this up for Timothy. He's like, you just know who's going to judge, right? And he says, I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And he's saying, listen, yes, there could be a famine for the word of God now. Yes, even though, you know, it sits on every shelf probably in every household almost in America. Many of us have multiple copies, right? But there could be, the word of God could be rare, and that maybe it's not being preached from the pulpits in America, right? From the churches in. And, you know, Paul's telling Timothy, you preach the word in season and out, when it's popular and when it's not popular. And he's saying, you know, because what's going to happen is people are not going to endure sound doctrine eventually. They will not want to hear the truth. And they'll want to kind of put their hands over their ears and go, la, 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 let me go find somebody else that teaches things I like to hear. And that will stroke me and make me feel all good all the time. And so, yes, there can be, the word of the Lord can be rare. It can be not spoken of in one of the places that it's supposed to be spoken of as God's people gather. And so that's one way. Now, you know, in the case there in 1 Samuel, God was not speaking, right? And that's why there was no communication. Communication takes a sender and a receiver, right? And so another way that there could be a famine, or there could, the word of the Lord could be rare, or if we feel like God is not speaking, is because there's a problem on the receiving end. You know, God has spoken, but am I really listening, right? There's a communication problem, you know? And that can be a situation where we might be right now. When you take a look in Mark chapter 4 in the Gospels, Jesus gives a parable, which, you know, is just a story with a point. And it's the parable of the sower of the seed. And he does give an explanation after this to his disciples. But at the very end of just telling the story itself, there in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, He says, so at, this is at the end of telling the story of this parable of sower, of the sower. He says, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so you can have ears and not hear. And there not be any physical problem with your ears. We're not talking about some kind of defect or problem in the mechanics of hearing. It's a heart problem. You know, that's what he's saying. You know, not everybody can understand these parables because not everybody is in a position to really receive them. And we got to realize that, that sometimes our hearing problem is just an indicator. It's like a warning light on the dashboard saying, there's a heart problem. Maybe it's some sin I'm involved with that I need to repent of. Maybe it's an attitude I've got that's not right towards someone or towards God, because, you know, our horizontal relationships with each other does affect our vertical relationship with God. Did you know that? That's why the Lord says, you know, when you're worshiping God and you go to present your offering, if there's someone who has something against you, you should leave your offering there and get back to that, but go and get things right with this person. And so sometimes that relational issue can really cause a problem vertically between us and God, and it can affect our hearing. And so, yes, the word of God can be rare now. Back then it was a judgment. Right now, overall, it could be a lack of the preaching of the word of God. And, or it could be a lack of really having ears to hear. We're really not listening with the heart to, we don't really want to know what someone has to say. You ever talk to somebody and they ask you a question and they, you give them the answer, but you can tell they really don't want to hear what you have to say, because there's a reason why they don't want to listen to what you have to say, because they don't like what you have to say, because maybe it has some implications on them and they don't want to do whatever those implications are. I like the, again, it's that song we sang, it talks about kind of leaning in to the Spirit of God, saying, you know, again, that song is really a want. I want to hear, God, what you have to say. I really want to hear it, whatever it might be. And so we have God's silence. But thankfully, in the passage in 1 Samuel, it just doesn't stop there. Right? So what's happening here is we have God raising up a total shift and a new prophet of God. And so that's where we come to in this next section here, is that we have that, you know, that God speaks here. We have in this next section. Let's take a look there, starting in verse 4. And so it says, then the Lord called Samuel. So here we have the silence there, these first few verses, and we have, you know, Samuel laying there by the ark of God. But now we have a breaking of the silence, God's voice, and it says, then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli, and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down. So, you know, there's a confusion. He, you know, Samuel's hearing something, he's hearing a voice, God's calling him, but he doesn't know it's God. He just assumed the only other person in there is Eli. It must be Eli calling for me. Be like for you. He's thinking it's like you calling for one of your kids. And so, you know, Eli says, hey, it wasn't me. Go lay back down. Go back to sleep. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. You know, repeat. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This is why he's not recognizing the voice of God. He says he doesn't know him. He's not familiar with this voice. Okay? And so Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli's getting it that, hey, I'm not saying anything. He thinks someone's saying something. It must be the Lord, right? Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord, now listen to this. This is changes here. It's not just the voice this time. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood. How cool is that? God came. And he was somehow more present. And so the writer of Scripture uses the word stood. Even though we know God, you know, doesn't have a body, right? He's spirit, but yet somehow his presence, whether it was actually in the form of, you know, we don't really know. We just know, but somehow it's different this time. I'm saying, he said he came in, he stood. He just didn't say something. He stood right there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears. Speak, for your servant hears." You know, this Samuel, Samuel, this is the same thing that God said to his prophet Moses. Moses, Moses. Moses, Moses. So, you know, God's activating a new prophet. He's calling him. He's calling him, and he's getting him ready because God's going to do something new. There's a crisis with God's people here. There's a crisis, and you know what we need in a crisis? We need God's word. We need to hear from God. That's what we need in a crisis. This is what God's people need. They need to hear from him. There was a famine in the word of God. You know, there was a problem. We've addressed that. But listen, this is what we need. That's what we need. We need to hear from God in our crises. We may think there's all other things that we should have and be doing, and maybe some of those are things that God will direct us to. But very first and foremost is we need to hear from God. We need the word of God. Now, I tell you what, man, Samuel's first assignment was not easy. Listen to what God says to him. Listen to what the very first word of the Lord to his new prophet. He was probably a teenager at this point, very possibly. Okay? And so imagine this. You know, and you got to realize, remember, up to this point, he's kind of functioned kind of like a priest. You know, he's been helping out in the tabernacle. He's been helping out this, but this is not going to be his function. It's going to be as a prophet. Okay? And God has a word for him. And what did the prophets do? God communicated to them something, and they were to take that message to God's people. And so here's the message. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood, calling it as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then, verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone," ESV puts it this way, it's kind of interesting, "the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." When I heard that, I thought of Christian Tingle. I don't know why. Some of you guys, never mind, if you don't know what that even refers to about, but that just means they're going to be a buzz. They're going to be like, they will not believe what they just heard. That's what he's saying. They won't believe it. You know, this would be the kind of thing that the news that you hear, and you'd be like going up to somebody, "Did you hear about whatever?" You know? And I know that today, I think, is the 15th anniversary of 9/11, right? You know, and probably any one of us in this room could tell everybody else where you were when that happened. You know, and I'm very confident that any one of us that would have ran into anybody else right after this happened would say, hey, did you hear what happened? I was sitting in the dentist chair watching the towers come down. You know, just it was just, you know, unbelievable. You know, just unbelievable. But it was on this level. It was on this level that this message is coming of judgment on Eli and his sons, because here he says, on that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Remember, this unknown person comes up to Eli and tells him, you know what? You and your house, God says you're done. What you guys have done is blasphemous in the house of God. And this line of priests that you have, they're cut to a close. And just to prove it to you, do you remember what he said? Just to prove it to you, what's going to happen? Both your sons will die on the same day. Now we have confirmation coming to Samuel. This is what he's saying. He says, and I declared to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Wow. The first word that you hear from God that you got to tell somebody, it's a humdinger. Yeah, sorry to tell you, Eli, but you guys are done. You're toast. God's going to kill you all. You know, I mean, that's heavy. It's a heavy word. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's a heavy word. You know, when we read the scriptures or whether the Spirit impresses us upon us something, and it's heavy. We know this is a hard word to hear. You ever have a hard word to hear from God? Might come right from the word itself or through another person sharing the word with you, and it's a real challenging word. And so God speaks. This is just a sign of God's grace, let me tell you that right now. The fact that God even opened his mouth and didn't stay silent is a sign of God's grace. I mean, even though the word was hard, what's going to happen after the hard word? God's going to put some new things in order. You know, do you remember that verse in 1 Peter that we talked about? It talks about how judgment begins with the household of God. You remember that? This is an example of that. God's cleaning house. He's saying, you know, what's going on in my house is not right, and I'm cleaning it up, and we're going to start with a new prophet who will do my will. And so this is God's word is spoken, and he speaks to Samuel. This is encouraging, because, you know, we see that even though it's a hard word, it's a difficult word for Samuel to speak, this is God's grace. And you need to realize, whether the word that God gives you from the scripture is challenging to you, convicting to you, or it's encouraging and hopeful, it's all God's word. It's all God's word, and it's all his grace. You know, why does he tell us challenging words? Why does he give us challenging things? Because he loves us. He loves us. That's why. Now, you know, I think it's important for us to realize, you know, okay, God spoke back then, and we also need to realize that God has spoken to us, and he still speaks. He has spoken to us, and he still speaks. What do we mean by this? And by the way, just for the record here, I think that God can speak in any way he wants. Okay? No, I do not believe that God only speaks one way. Okay? He can use all, I mean, if he can use a donkey, right, he can speak any way he wants. Okay? But I'm going to focus in on, I think, one of the primary ways that God speaks to us, and that is through his written word, because he has spoken that. Okay? But before we get there, tying in with this, that what's going on with God's prophets, and if you will, here's a little extra extended study for you. If you want to look in the book of Acts, there's a couple places where Samuel's name is mentioned. You should check out and see what that little commentary is about Samuel. But one of the verses there in the book of Acts talks about Samuel is the fact that he says, you know, there's a whole line of prophets coming, beginning with Samuel and ending with Jesus. Okay? And again, don't get me wrong. When I say Jesus being a prophet, I'm not saying that he's not the Son of God. Please. He is the Son of God. He is God himself, okay? But functioning, one of his functions was as a prophet. He spoke forth the word of God. He is the word of God. We talked about that last week, right? So take a look at Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And some of your kids are getting this verse back there today. I just was talking with my wife. Talking with my life and my wife about what one of the verses here. And she goes, oh, we're talking about that back in Kick today. Okay? It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, this is Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So we've been transported back there in 1 Samuel. We see God's now beginning to speak again to a new prophet named Samuel. It says, but now fast forward to New Testament times, first century church times, and he says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Who's that? Jesus, right? We know it's either Jesus, God, or the Bible. We're in church. That's the answer to every question. Right? Just kidding. Okay, but he's spoken to us by his Son. You want to know what God has to say, you better find out what Jesus said. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus has revealed God to us. All right? The exact representation of God's nature was found in Jesus himself. Now, you know, when Jesus talked to his disciples about him, he's like, you know, hey, I'm not going to be around here that long. I'm going away. And they're like, you know, probably like we would be, hey, I'm going too, man. He's like, you know, because I'd be like, I want to be where you are, right? But he's like, no, where I'm going, you can't come right now because I'm going away so that I can send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, right? And the ways that the Holy Spirit, how he ministers to us and how he relationship to us and how he works is just, you know, it's just so multifaceted. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit has done and did then was to bring to remembrance to the authors of Scripture, those disciples, all that happened. They were able to remember by the Holy Spirit everything that happened, because then they're going to be writing it down in the Gospels. Let's take a look here. So we have Jesus, the one who, the last prophet, if we could say that loosely, but his function, that's how we've heard about God, is through Jesus here. And now he's gone to be with God the Father in heaven, and he says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. And we're talking about God speaking, right? He spoke to us through Jesus. Now let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. It says, and we have the prophetic word right? Those words spoken by prophets, the prophetic word, more fully confirm, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, in other words, any prophecy, anything that a prophet said, you're right, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. These things written down by the prophets of God in the Scripture, it wasn't like they sat around and said, feel like maybe I should write something. Maybe I'm a prophet. No. They got direct words from God. And these were not matters of one's own interpretation. Okay? He says, verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So you see, we have the Word of God coming down in flesh in Jesus, Him going away and sending the Spirit of God, and now the Spirit of God moving on people to write down His Word. And He speaks to us through that written Word. He has spoken that, they wrote it down. Now just to fill in a little bit here, let me just share with you a couple of things. Because sometimes we, when people read this 2 Peter verse or this 2 Timothy 3:16 and so on that talks about, these writers being inspired. They think of a poet being inspired and, that kind of a thing. That's not how it worked, okay? So let me just... It says in that 2 Peter verse that those men spoke from God. And then it says that not only that, but how they did that, that it was men moved by the Holy Spirit. And just to give you a little bit more sense of this, in a book called the Old Testament Survey, it was put this way, and I think this accurately describes how this was done, that we can surmise from that word. Inspired means God breathed, right there. And so it says, to assure verbal precision, God, in communicating His revelation, must be verbally precise. Makes sense. God wants to be precise about what He's saying. He's going to have to be precise. And an inspiration must extend to the very words. Get this? It's not just like the ideas that are inspired. It's the very words. The very words are inspired by God. It says, this does not mean that God dictated every word. That's a common misconception, that God just, dictated every word. Now, we do have some of that, certainly in the Old Testament, right? Where God, gives them a word, and then the prophet just, reiterates it, okay? But when you get to the New Testament, and you see how these writers wrote this down, and we get this, it's not a dictation. Rather, the Spirit of God so pervaded the mind of the human writer that He chose out of that writer's vocabulary and that writer's experience precisely those words. Do you see how? Do you think God could do that? He's saying, this guy over here and how he's going to grow up, he's going to use exactly the words I want. Even his own personality will just play to exactly what I want written down without there being dictation. You think I could do that? Yeah. And so, in this sense, the words of the human authors of Scripture can be viewed as the Word of God. They are the words of God. Yes, they're the words of men because men wrote them, but God moved on them, used their unique personalities and times of period that they were alive and to write down exactly what He wanted. Okay? Here at Darby Creek, we believe every word of God is inspired. Every one. Every word, not just the ideas. It's not like we're going to summarize all the paragraphs and say, I don't know about every word in there, but the general idea is certainly from God. No, every word. Every word. And it's important for, I believe, us to have this conviction, because when we read the Bible, we got to know this is what God said. God spoke. God spoke. He has spoken. It's right here in the Bible. He's still speaking through this. How is he doing that? How does he speak through a document that was written many years ago? Well, it's the nature of the Word. It's the nature of it. What do we mean by that? Well, again, back to Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active." You see, so it's not just like words on a page. I mean, yeah, they're words on a page, but there's power in that. The truth that is there, every word being inspired by God, he works through it. You know, every time we're in the Bible or hear it preached or hear it taught accurately, and we... sometimes when that's happening, we feel the conviction of God, or we feel hope and all this. And this is not accidental, okay? Because the Word of God, it's living. It's not dead, and it's active. It's always doing something. I mean, what did God's Word do? It creates and it recreates, right? Created the world out of nothing. I mean, you know, you get the vision there in Ezekiel about the dry bones, right, in the desert. And it talks about the prophet there to prophesy over the bones. First of all, can you just even imagine a valley of dry bones? And then by the power of God, and then the Word of God being breathed over them, all those bones coming together and the sinews and everything all coming back and then becoming alive. Now that's a movie. That really happened. In that vision, God does that every time he saves somebody. God does that every time we take the Word of God in and he transforms us. He's doing that. His word is powerful, okay? And, you know, I think, you know, our whole approach to the Word of God affects how we receive it. If you really believe it's the Word of God, and listen, there's all kinds of answers to all the questions that people have. Well, it's been translated all kinds of times. How can you even know that? I got plenty of answers for that, okay? We don't have time for that today, but if that's where you're at, and I get it, there's great answers to that, okay? We can have great confidence in what we have in our hands right here, okay? I don't say that because I'm a pastor. I don't say that because, you know, this is part of my livelihood, and, you know, if that went away, I wouldn't have a job. No, that's not it. You need to know. There's very good reasonable evidence that what we have right here are the very words of God that were written way back when. Okay? So, the Word of God is living and active. He's spoken to us. It's written down. He still speaks to us, and he speaks to us, I think, primarily through the Word of God. And so, you know, if I want to hear God speak, the question is going to be, am I in his Word, right? Am I in his Word? Am I in there? Am I exposing myself to the Word of God on a regular basis? Because if I want to hear from God, I want to know what he has for me and what he wants me to do. I got to be in here to hear from him. Again, remember, I said that I don't think that, you know, God exclusively can speak this way. He can speak other ways, but I just think that he primarily does speak to us through these ways. I mean, I've had other ways. I've woken up in the middle of the night. I've had dreams. I have, you know, I'm not saying that's a regular occurrence in my life, but it has happened. Okay? But I find that more times than not, he's speaking to me through his written word. Okay? You know, every once in a while, I just have to go back to Psalm 19. I have to go back to Psalm 19, and I have to just say to my, remind myself of the incredible blessing and power of the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." You know, we sang a song there earlier, "Build Your Kingdom Here." It has elements or kind of expressions of revival, wanting, you know, God's church to explode and be on fire. And I'd love that. How about you? You know, God's Word has to be doing this too. You know, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it's like, you know, gasoline and a match. Whoosh! Set our hearts on fire. Revive our hearts, you know? You want your heart revived, get in the Word, right? That's right, there it is. It's in black and white. Or, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You need wisdom? Get in the Word. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, God's Word, when we're in there and we learn about what God is like, and it rejoices our heart. I mean, it just goes on and on, these adjectives. The Word of God enlightens the heart, right? And then it just goes on and on. It says, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings from the honeycomb." And it talks about in keeping them there is great reward. You know, just the Word of God. That's how He speaks. You want to hear from God, you get in the Word. And you pray with expectation. You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about sharing the gospel with other people. We're talking about praying and believing that God will do something. Like, if I pray for opportunities to share my faith, do I believe He's going to give them? Do I order my prayer, like the psalmist says, and eagerly watch, right? And I think it's the same thing here. When I get into God's Word, I got to say, "God, I need You to help me see with my heart." Right? You look in Ephesians chapter 1, right? "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Remember that song? Some of you know it, right? That's what it's saying. It's from Ephesians. And Paul's praying, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would understand the things of God, that you would know all the things that He has for you." And that's what God wants to do when we, you know, He wants us to come in expectation, say, "Lord, open the eyes of my heart as I get in here. Let me see You. I want to see You." That's what the song says. "I want to see You. God, show me You." Right here in the Word of God. And God has spoken the Word of God, the Bible. You know, God still speaks. We see it's living and active. You know, you got to have these convictions about God's Word. You know, if you have any doubt in God's Word, you need to get into investigation mode. Okay, because you need to settle this. Right? You need to settle that this is the Word of God. All right, and again, if you want some help, get some resources that will help you investigate that, I'd be happy to do that. And so, let me just say something here about you know, when we think we're hearing God from sources outside the Scripture, you just need to make sure that it does not conflict with anything He has written. Okay? Because, you know, what is written in the Scripture, it's rock solid, man. We can have great confidence in everything that's in there. But when I read something, or I think I hear something from God, or God impressing something on my heart, now that's subjective, and you should submit that to the Scripture. The only problem is, if you don't know what the Scripture is saying, or they're not that familiar, it's easy to be duped. Okay? And so, that's why I think it's important for us to know the Word of God, know how to handle it. And then, you know, if we have these other experiences, we're able to evaluate it, you know, the truthfulness of it. You know, I think, you know, Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, now, don't despise the word of prophecy. And neither should we. But he's saying you better test it. He does say you should test it. And I think that's done in community, okay? One of the things I did appreciate when I was going through the Vineyard Leadership Institute classes years ago, it was all done in community. You couldn't just log in online somewhere and buy a DVD and go through the course. No, you had to process the information in small groups when you were there. We were taught the scripture. We were taught, you know, all these different topics and all this stuff. But when we broke down into small groups, what was happening there was we were processing that in community. And that's good. I think that's healthy. Okay? And so when these other things that we think we're hearing that we think that they're God, and they may be, we've got to realize those are not infallible sources outside the scripture. And they should be subject to the infallible word of God. You know, and Jesus warns against those who seek against a sign, didn't he? You know, sometimes they say, Lord, just show me. You know, sometimes you'll hear people that are skeptical about God. If God would just come down and just appear to me, I'd believe. And, you know, the Lord's saying, well, I already did that in Jesus. And by the way, he'd be like, well, I think just like he told the Pharisees, you demand a sign, but, you know, even if I gave you a sign, you wouldn't believe. And so, you know, there's a warning there in Scripture about us, you know, just being all after the signs. God can do that. Okay, so last thing here is just seeing the fact that, you know, what does Samuel do? I'm really feeling the weight of Samuel here when the next morning, right, verse 15, right, it says in 1 Samuel 3:15, it says, Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Well, who wouldn't be afraid to tell him? Yeah, got a gotagram, and it's not good news for you and your family, right? And so, but Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also. That's kind of a way of saying, I'll kill you. May he kill you if you don't tell me everything. Okay? May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all that he told you. Verse 18, so Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord. This is interesting. Eli's response, you know, this is God. Let him do what seems good to him. He's kind of trusting, if this is what God wants, then this is what's got to happen. And so we see Samuel's response. He went ahead and gave it. He went ahead and delivered the word of the Lord. He was a little hesitant, and I'm sure in his flesh he would be like any one of us, right? And so, you know, what should be our response, right, when we hear from God in the scriptures? It should be, okay, Lord. Okay. I'll do that. I'll believe that. I'll take care of that. What you said. Right there. Our response. You know, will I obey it? He delivered the word of the Lord. Okay, well, We may not be, you know, speaking forth to others in the sense that Samuel was, but let me tell you what. Aren't we to speak forth the word of God to other people? To one another and to other people? Aren't we supposed to be little evangelists? Maybe you don't like that word. We're going to take the gospel message to people, tell them the good news of Jesus, right? Well, let me just tell you, right, if you haven't experienced this, some people won't be so welcoming of that message. Others will. Right? In fact, in Corinthians, Paul tells us that, you know, to people that are perishing, we're going to smell like death, in a sense, when we deliver that message. In other words, they won't feel real good about it. To those that God's giving life to, they're going to be like, oh, this is like perfume, man. You come and deliver to me that message? Wow. That's a message of hope. I'm going to put my faith in that. That's God doing that, right? And so, will we obey the Lord in the gospel commission to take it to other people, right? Not only just will we take the words as we get with God in our personal devotions and obey it, and that's important, but will we also be willing to say the difficult word? I do think, though, that the enemy does really dupe us. He dupes me sometimes, right? When I just think, people don't want to hear that, man. People don't want to hear the gospel message. You know, that I do you believe that sometimes? I believe that sometimes. My flesh just believes that sometimes, that people just don't want to hear it. That you know, or I'll kind of like, oh, you know, America's dead, you know, when it comes to this message. They've heard it. They've had their chance, you know, just all kinds of wacky things go through my mind. And then you think about the gospel passage, right, where Jesus says, look out on the fields. They're white for harvest. Right? Ripe for harvest meaning, yeah, there's plenty of people there. Or you look in the book of Acts, right, and the Lord tells Paul and the apostles, you know, I've got many people in this city. You see, God's got a view we don't have, and we just need to say, Lord, we need to trust you and say, okay, I don't know the people around me, and you don't know everything that's going on in somebody's heart. Let me tell you that right now. You may think you know someone, but you don't really know everything that's going on, okay? God does. And so when we share the gospel message, we deliver that, we have no idea what kind of a reception it will get. You know, woe unto us if we do not preach the gospel. We must do that. Listen, this morning, I don't know what God's laying on your heart, all right? What he's speaking to you through his word. Maybe you just haven't really thought of the very words of God being, every word being inspired, or maybe you haven't been engaged in the scriptures and really wanting to hear from God in the scriptures. I don't really know what it is. But let's just pray together right now that the Lord would help us. And we'll just, let's just pray right now. Lord, we just come to you this morning and are so, I think in us, built within us, is we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, God. Father, help us to be ones who lean into, like this song that we're going to sing again says, it's leaning into the Spirit of God and inviting you to move in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I think our flesh sometimes, we're so easy to think about, you know, we're wanting to point out things in other people's lives. And boy, we'd love to fix them. We can change them. Boy, I'm the Holy Spirit in their life. Lord, I'd pray that we'd stop thinking about other people right now and just invite you to change us. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.